highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
In verse 12 of this very chapter, the golden rule, what is it? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would have that men would do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Whatever you would have men do unto you, do unto them. That's really what it's all about. And if the world, even if the unsaved world could somehow do this, all the problems in our society would go away overnight.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. The negative way of stating this command was known long before Jesus. It had long been said, you should not do to your neighbor what you would not want him to do to you. But it is a significant advance for Jesus to put it in the positive. To say that we should do unto others what we want them to do to us. This especially applies to Christian fellowship. If we would experience love and have people reach out to us, we must love and reach out to others. Now let's join Pastor Rob's teaching.
You know, and the rage comes up, and I can't believe who raised this kid, you know, and everybody's just like incensed. And little do they know that his mother's on the verge of dying or going into a coma, and he knows that sugar is what she needs. We don't have all the information. We immediately judge. We don't have it. We don't know what happened prior. We don't know the circumstances. And isn't it so fun? It's not fun at all, actually. It's so disgusting how even in social media, you see people doing this stuff. They don't even know what they're talking about, and they've already passed sentence on an action before they know all the details. I don't know about you, but it's hard to get to the bottom of any truth in this world. It's hard to get to the bottom. That's why Jesus said in John 7, he says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16 when Samuel was sent by God to Jesse, and Jesse had 8 sons. And remember, his youngest son, David, was out shepherding the sheep, but his other 7 sons, it looked like that little picture that people have stickered on the back of their SUV, you know, with the kids, and they're all into the tall and going all the way down to the small. Well, Jesse brings all of these 7 boys, his sons, before Samuel, because Samuel's going to anoint one of them to be king. And Samuel, remember, he goes up and he looks at Eliab, the firstborn. Oh, he's blonde. He's beautiful. He's wearing that cologne that everybody likes. And he's handsome. He's got some muscle, too. That must be the guy. And God's going, no. And God says to Samuel, what did he say? Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Aren't you glad that God does? He looks at the inward. He is the perfect judge. Because I can fool you and you can fool me, but God sees the heart. And therefore, I'm not equipped, I'm not qualified to judge you or to judge your motives for whatever you do. Now, granted, I mean, if you're in church and you stand up and you go into a tirade and for no reason, we're going to carry you out of here. Right? Gently, of course, you know, kindly. But you know, there's a reason, but we don't want to discuss it here, right? One of the ushers will follow you and ask you what happened. But you know what? We just don't know all the details. We don't know. And yet Jesus tells us that you will know a person by their fruits. Well, isn't that judging? No, that's just being observant. See, the world wants to tell you that whenever you make any kind of moral decision about something that you're judging. No, it doesn't mean that at all. I'm not condemning anybody, but am I able to call a spade a spade? When I look at an action, am I able to say, well, that's a bad thing. I don't know what caused it. I'm not going to judge your motive, but that thing that you did is not right. Don't judge me, brother. No, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you the truth. What did Jesus say in Matthew 7, verse 15? Beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Well, don't judge the wolf. No, you judge the wolf. Shoot the wolf. Get rid of him. He's a wolf. He eats sheep. Bah. He likes lamb chops. That's his diet. No, you get rid of a wolf. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Oh, wow, that means I'm not judging by knowing them. No, you're not judging them. You're seeing what's going on, and you're thinking, this is not a good person. I'm not judging them. I'm not condemning them to hell. I'm just saying that what they're doing right now is not right. Can they change? Yes, they can change. Can they turn away from their sin and be saved? Yes, they can do all that. But right now, they're not going in that direction. And you know them by their fruits. He says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And the obvious answer is no. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Yes, and you're not judging when you do that. The world is trying to silence you, Christian. Because when you bring morality into any situation, they immediately get stung. And thank God they get stung, because that means that there's still hope for them. Because when their conscience is seared, they could care less about any conviction. But if there is any conviction in their heart, they will normally, the dog that barks the loudest is the one that got hit. And when they start screaming at you and saying, don't judge you, just smile. Maybe turn around first so you don't incur wrath. You know, because your heavenly Father is working. They got stung, and they'll take it out on you. Don't judge me, brother. And you're like, no. You just pointed out the very fact that the Lord convicted you right here. That's what happened here. I wasn't judging you. And yet, even the 12 apostles will be judging the 12 tribes of Israel in the millennial reign. Did you know that? Jesus said in Matthew 19, Peter answered and said, see, we have left all and we followed you, therefore what shall we have? And so Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, yes, the regeneration, he's speaking of the millennial kingdom, which follows his second coming physically to the earth. After the tribulation and all of that, the church is removed, the tribulation, Jesus comes back to the earth, we come back with him, the millennial reign. In that regeneration, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow. But we should be careful not to judge a book by its cover. There's a story that's been told, and I'm going to read this to you. This is really interesting. And this has happened to me, not as embarrassing as it is for Mr. Moody here. The story has been told of D.L. Moody, who criticized one of his church members. The man always came into Sunday morning service, entered the back seat of the church, and promptly went to sleep. Moody became irritated with this behavior and finally expressed his disappointment and anger to the offending brother. And the man was crestfallen and apologized profusely. But Moody became ashamed when the man said, Pastor, I am an engineer, and I have to drive my train all night, all through Saturday night. I should be in bed, but I hate the thought of my pastor having to preach to my empty seat on Sunday mornings. Everybody tells me I should not come to church, but I cannot stay away. I am so sorry. But when I get into the warm building, my eyes get heavy, and I fall asleep. And Moody placed his hand on the man's shoulder and said, my brother, it is I who am sorry. You come to church and sleep all you want to. It's fine with me. And see, it's easy to judge. This man is just being a slug. He's just filling up space in the church. He comes and he sleeps. That's happened here, actually. Don't you guys get any ideas? We've had that happen here, too. But see, we don't know all the information. I mean, knowing what that guy went through and his heart attitude, wouldn't that change your mind, knowing that, having a discussion? Now that Moody knew the more information, he's like, oh my goodness, Lord, forgive me. It's amazing. I remember, I'll never forget this as long as I live. There was a young boy. My daughter was still in preschool, I think it was. And there was a little boy who kept kicking her. He would walk up to her and he would just be kicking her every single day, kicking her, kicking her, kicking her. Now, this was many years ago. I mean, she's 15 now, but back when, you know, she was in that age. And I'll never forget this, and I regret saying this. Let me just be up front with you. What I'm going to tell you is something I wouldn't do today. But he kept kicking her daily, kicking her daily. Nobody would seem to do anything about it. So I me being a dad, I'm just like, because I had bullies when I was young too. And she said, Daddy, what am I going to do? I said, well, talk to your teacher. Well, they don't do anything, and they don't see it happening. I'm like, well, the next time he kicks you, you haul off and kick him right back. I know what's wrong, and it's not Christ-like, but it felt good. And I know I'm wrong. Don't judge me, brother. So I know I was wrong, and you know what? I went to the teacher, the principal. I remember this as clear as day, and I went to them, and I said, and this was not too far away here. It was a Christian place. And I told them the story, and they said, well, we need to tell you something about that little boy. And I said, what? And he said his mother is dying of cancer, and his father just divorced his mother. And so this little boy is going through a hurricane. His mother's dying. His family's breaking apart. He's angry. And that wiped me out. Knowing that information changed everything. So I promptly told my daughter not to kick him. But the matter got dealt with right after that happened. And I thought to myself, Lord, what a fool. I was so ashamed. Have you ever been ashamed like that? I literally drove my car into the back of the parking lot and just bawled like a baby, asking God to forgive me. But the truth is hard to find, especially today, isn't it? You know, and all the real truth that we have is the Word of God, you know. And do you have Jesus in your heart? Does he have you? Because he is the truth. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He is the embodiment of truth. He is truth. Psalm 119 tells us the entirety of your word is truth. That means that from Genesis to Malachi and then Matthew to Revelation, the whole thing is God's word. It is the truth. All of your word, the entirety of your word is truth. Jesus, when he prayed in John 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And not only the Bible, the Word of God being truth, but Jesus also is the living Word of God. What does Revelation tell us? When he comes back to the earth physically, to his second coming, what does it say in Revelation 19, verse 11? I saw heaven open, and I'm so looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to the rapture more than I am that, because that's the next thing for you and I is the rapture of the church. I'm really looking forward to that. But this is the next thing that I'm really excited about. When Jesus comes back, he said, John says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness, notice, he judges and makes war. He's qualified. He knows what he's doing. He's able to do it perfectly and righteously and correctly. And he makes war. His eyes were like the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except for himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. So God, who is the truth, is ultimately the only one who can judge with perfect knowledge, and he is spot on in his judgments. Romans 2 verse 16 says that there's coming a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Yes, there is a day coming, and that day is coming for the ungodly and those who reject Jesus Christ. Well, when is that day? It's at the great white throne judgment. A day set aside at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, at the end of the thousand-year Christ. And Revelation 20 tells us, and you've heard me share this scripture over and over again, but I'm going to read it again. At the end of the millennial reign, at the end of the thousand-year Christ, John says, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things. Notice, and the dead were judged. Yes, this is the judgment, the final judgment. They were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Is everything you do written in a book somewhere? It is. And hopefully you come to Christ and all that stuff is washed away. But these will stand. And it says, and the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And notice, they were all judged, each one according to his work. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Yes, that's the final judgment. That is judgment. That is being God able to judge correctly. I am not capable of doing that. But he does call us to call sin, sin. And first in our own life. And it's okay to know something or someone by their fruits. You see it. And it's okay to say, that's not good. I don't know exactly what it is, but that's not good. That's not judging. That's just being observant and doing what God wants you to do. You have to be open to that. And first, do it in your heart. Don't be pointing fingers at everybody else. Go, no, you're, you know. We don't do that. As the old phrase goes, when I point one finger at you, I've got three pointing back at me. It's true. For with what judgment you judge in our text this morning, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If you're the kind of person who is judgmental and you look at everyone with squinting eyes, don't be surprised if you find that people do the same to you. That's what this verse means. If you are critical, don't be surprised if people are critical with you. If you're impatient, don't be surprised if people are impatient with you. If you're unfriendly, don't be surprised if everyone around you is not friendly to you. If you're unmerciful, don't be surprised when nobody extends mercy to you. If you are unforgiving, don't be surprised if you are unforgiven. And if you hold a grudge, don't be surprised if people hold a grudge against you. And if you're unwilling to help others, don't be surprised when your time of need comes that nobody comes. But it all comes back to this, and we're going to look at this. I don't know that we're going to have time today, but in verse 12 of this very chapter, the golden rule, what is it? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would have that men would do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Whatever you would have men do unto you, do unto them. That's really what it's all about. And if the world, even if the unsaved world could somehow do this, all the problems in our society would go away overnight. It would. But Jesus, here in the Sermon on the Mount, he calls us believers to do the exact opposite of what we can expect to see in the world. He does. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, he says, you've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Is that a hard thing to do? Yes, it is. Even as a Christian, it's hard to do that. It requires supernatural divine intervention in your life. It requires you and I to be submitted to Christ. And to take the hard road The easy road is what leads everybody. It's a broad road. It's easy because your old nature, your flesh, just wants, it goes the path of least resistance. But to take the high road requires effort. It requires something outside of yourself most of the time, perhaps all the time. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Boy, that's something that we don't normally do in the natural. For you shall heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. The idea is you're going to bring shame upon them. They're going to realize that they've been evil to you, but you've been good to them. And a lot of times, when we reply, there's a proverb that says, a soft answer turns away wrath. And I also think a gracious action also does the same. When somebody is barking and getting in your face and just tearing you to shreds, and you don't return in kind, it removes the fire. It removes the fire. The flame goes out. Ah, but if you let your flesh, and believe me, you know when this happens, you're just boiling inside, your face is red. Even if that happens, you don't have to do anything. Because in your heart, you want to just tear into them, verbally or physically, and you just take it. And you let the Spirit of God grab control of you, the fire goes out, and you will regret nothing. But I promise you, if you open your mouth or do something, you will regret it. And that may be the only witness that some people see, is the graciousness of a saint who has been grilled by a very nasty, rotten person, and you didn't return in kind. It requires a supernatural strength and grace. It's just not going to happen unless you are in Christ. It's not going to happen. So how about it? You know, as we read this, something we need to consider for ourselves, isn't it? It's something that we really need to take notice of. I don't want to judge anybody. I'm not qualified. I don't have the mind of God in the sense, I'm not omniscient. I don't know your motives. But see, that's really what this is all about today. Let's be careful not to do that. Let's be careful not to do that. And notice, a great example of this is in the book of Esther. You remember that the Jews were in Babylon, captive, and this occurred during at Shushan the palace during the Babylonian captivity. And remember, Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, he would not bow down or acknowledge Haman, who was a newly promoted officer in Ahasuerus' kingdom. And so Haman was so furious with Mordecai the Jew because he didn't bow down to him, and he determined not only to kill Mordecai, but also all of Mordecai's kind. And that means all of the Jews. And he did it, he planned that on a specific day in all the provinces, on a specific day that they would kill all the Jews. And Ahasuerus had previously agreed to this, but he didn't know the big picture of what was going on to this, and he didn't know that his own wife, Esther, who was a Jew, he didn't know that she was a Jew.
That's the end of our study for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.